I'll be speaking this morning on feedback matters. Feedback matters. And I've got a few scriptures to look at quickly. The first is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 5. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 5. It says, "It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools." Verses 21 to 22, same chapter. Thank you. "Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others." Ecclesiastes chapter 9 from verse 17, just one verse, says, "The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools." I repeat that. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And the last one for now is Proverbs 15:22. "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed." Feedback plays an integral part in our learning and development. We see a lot of, companies and corporate organizations who depend on this. So feedback plays a very integral part because we continue to learn. We don't stop learning. And to be candid, in terms of feedback, how you handle feedback will determine how and where you end up. It's that serious. How we handle feedback will determine how and where we end up. Because as human beings, we're prone to human error. And there are gaps in our knowledge. Upbringing, culture, so many things that, and because God is interested in you finishing well. God is interested, you started already, it's about the finish line now. And God is interested in you finishing well. So from time to time, feedback would come. So that peradventure we have gone off the track, that can help us, bring us back. Well, you see that one of the scriptures we read was talking about the wise and the foolish. And I find out that in life, there are only two categories of people. It doesn't matter your upbringing or where you were born or your status. It's either you're wise or you're foolish. That scripture was saying to us about preference to listen to wise counsel rather than, foolish counsel. But I think the way to start really is to even find out that am I wise or am I foolish? Because that's where to start from really. And Proverbs 13:20 says that walk with the wise and you will become wise. And associate with fools, you land into trouble. But what exactly is it? We're talking about somebody who is wise or somebody who is foolish. What should we be looking out for? And I put a few things here that might help us. I also want to suggest that if you have a bit of time, it's getting close to Christmas now, so you might want to do maybe a mini series in your home on the wise and the foolish. So the things that come up, you start to reconsider again that where exactly do I fit in here? characteristics of the person who is wise and the person who is foolish. Proverbs 12:15 says something. It says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Have you seen anyone like that? Who is always thinking that he's always right? The person is a fool. It's not me that said it, it's the Bible. So don't hold me to, I won't disrespect you. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. You know, in other words, the fool doesn't listen. It doesn't matter what you are saying, he won't listen to you. He won't listen to you. Proverbs 18:2 says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. This one is not interested in learning. He's not interested in learning. You know, I talk about people who, for instance, the church is not just a place of worship. It's also a place of learning. It's not enough to stream something at home. You know, of course, the pandemic, at some point we had to. But there's a lot of learning that goes on here in the church. It's like somebody who enrolls for a BSc or a master's and he doesn't go to class. He doesn't listen to his tutor. He doesn't hang out with colleagues to, you know, do coursework. It's a recipe for disaster. So this kind of person has no interest in learning. You won't find them where people are learning. Proverbs 9:9 says, instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Can you see the difference? The one who is wise, just give him feedback. Give him instruction. He will run with it, and he will become better at it. Proverbs 15:14 says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge. And I like that. And I was asking myself this question, are you hungry for knowledge? He's hungry to know, how can I be better? That's a man that is going somewhere. A wise man is hungry, desperate, keen for knowledge. But there's a second part to it. A fool, this same verse says, feeds on trash. What is trash? Anything that has no value. And a fool feeds on that, and he feasts on it. I saw something in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 14 to 16, and I thought we should look at. There's a short story in that, you know, passage. There was a king who came to a town with his army. And, you know, they wanted to attack the city. But there was a man in that city that was very wise, but poor. But the man helped them. He said, look, I have the answer. I can, you know, I can sort things out. And he helped them and he rescued the city or the town from the hands of this king and his army. But do you know what happened? The Bible recalls that the town did not even say thank you to him. And very soon, they forgot about him. because he was a poor man. What is the moral of this story? The moral of this story is that we must be careful and we must remain humble if we're going to learn. We mustn't get to a situation where we think that levels have now changed. Because God will use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Even though this man was poor, he was still wise. But they had soon quickly forgotten about him. We are products of men and women, men that you never see their names on Business Times or, you know, the big dailies. They've helped us, they've fashioned our lives, they've brought us to where we are today. We must be careful that we don't forget it. And we have people like that here, in our homes, in our offices, in the church. Obscure people, but they have been planted specially by God to help us. It's important that we remain humble and we're not picky, because God will use ordinary men to do extraordinary things. You know, I was looking at the story of Moses and Jethro. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. In Exodus 18, and Jethro came, you know, to visit Moses. Moses was now the leader of Israel. And Moses came, and Jethro came, and Moses was giving him feedback how God had helped them. You know, how God helped them to conquer Pharaoh and to do, and, you know, rescue them from slavery, and, you know, gave him all the feedback. And the man was saying, well done. Don't forget that Moses was an employee to Jethro before God called him. So one of the days that Jethro was there, he just sat down to observe what was going on. And he saw that hours upon hours, people lined up, queued up to see Moses. So he called Moses and said, look, what's going on here? And Moses said, you know what, you know, these people come for their whatever, I have to reach. And he said, if you carry on like this, you're going to wear yourself out. And you're going to wear the people out themselves. This is how you should do it. And he gave him a recipe. He gave him a strategy. Delegate these tasks. And then the ones that are very difficult, you can then handle it. But you see, we look at it again. In today's world, Moses was the head of government, was the head of state. Not just the head of state, he had access to God. He had access to God. If Moses were not humble, Moses will be asking that, Jethro, what do you know? You are tending flock. We are talking about human beings, millions of people. What do you know? But Moses humbled himself and he received feedback from his father-in-law. And I looked at that and I thought, you know what? There might be some prayer requests that God will not answer. There might be some prayer requests that we are praying for that God will not answer. Because the answer is with the Jethros, the people around you. The person sitting next to you. It could be your spouse. It could be your children. It could be some, you know, colleague in the office. And that's how God does his things. The onus is now on us now to have that humble spirit. What happened in that town was a flaw in character. When you have to now be looking at the fat cats. If you don't have a name, then you can't give us advice. If you don't have a name, then we can't. And this goes to the young people. We must never get too familiar. You are in school, you are with your parents for a time being, but God has put them there for a reason, to help us. The second part of what we read, you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, talks about us not eavesdropping. And that's a very, very, very important area that I think we should look at again today. You see, sniffing around for information can lead to side talks. And I will try and explain myself. You know, you get these things everywhere. You know, maybe, you know, you're not in agreement with somebody, and somebody says, come on here. And in our bid to want to, you know, just maybe get information, get feedback, we join. And before we know it, it becomes a side, and side talks at times, they're dangerous. Because it leads to gossip and slander, and before you know it, you're off the track. So we're being warned here to avoid sniffing around for information. And also, we have to be careful about things like that, because when you sniff around for information, you might hear what is not palatable to the ears. There's a story in the book of 1 Samuel 3, 11 to 14, and I'll just use that as a little case study. It's a story that we know very well. It says, and the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against this family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. This is another classical case where we see that feedback matters. God had sent people to Eli prior to this, asking him to sort out this issue. But Eli took it with levity. I don't think he understood the gravity of what was at stake. Because he lost his children in one day. You can see what God said about his family. So when we get feedback, it's important that we take it seriously. But there are a few things I want to talk about in this story. You see, when a man is not secure in God, then he starts to sniff around for information. Because Eli began to harass Samuel. Although we know that Samuel, you know, had gone to him the day before and was saying, you know, did you call me? You know, and then Eli said, oh, go there. And then, but he began to ask. He was no longer secure in himself. He wasn't secure in God any longer. And he began to sniff around for information. Obviously, we know the response that Samuel gave to him, which was not palatable to him. But there's something I see about Samuel here that I think is worthy of mention. That Samuel was courageous enough to approach Eli and tell him the message that God gave to him. And we must be like Samuel. There was no side talks with Samuel. He went straight. At times it's difficult. But Samuel went straight to Eli and gave him that feedback. gave him the instruction, gave him the message that God had given to him. We must take feedbacks very seriously. And if we continue to take feedback very seriously, there will be times that there will be the malicious ones that will come up. As long as you are doing the right thing, as long as you continue to follow God, you have nothing to worry about. Because some of the feedbacks that will come to you might be malicious. But if it's malicious, then you know you just have to throw them away. But the ones that are constructive, that are coming to you, work on them and deal with them. The last bit I was going to say about this story. Samuel, to the best of my knowledge, was a man who was very upright. But information came to Samuel concerning Eli, and he delivered it. But may I just suggest here that even when we are giving feedback, can we also accompany it with prayers? What do I mean? I just mean that because people's destinies depend on some of these feedbacks. So it might not just be enough to say, well, this is what God has said, I've told you, and that is it. Because strangely, I read that even Samuel's children did not end up well. There was the same problem with Eli. How did Samuel's children become corrupt and greedy? Because if we're all praying for ourselves, if God shows you something, you take it to the right authorities for them to pass it on, and we continue to pray for ourselves, I think we'll get a better response. Because eventually, Samuel's children didn't end up well. Bible says that they were corrupt. How did they get to that point? The third part of the notes from the teacher talks about many advisors, and that when you have advisors in place, then you are likely to have success. And that plans at times will not work because of a lack of advice. I think it's important that we understand that God has planted advisors around us. We might not necessarily see it or know it, but God has. We have advisors everywhere. And the assignment of every advisor is to see that you succeed. I'll share a little story quickly. I was speaking to our family, our children, and I said, things are getting tough out there. The streets is no longer safe. Let's not go out at night. You know, some of them want to jog at night. They want to do things that, young people, but with how things are going, let's be careful. But I could tell that it didn't sit well. And I understand because I've been a young person, so I know how these things work. So occasionally I might see the Metro newspaper and I see something, I bring it home, I put it on the table. so that they can see. But young people, young people, they think that they're untouchable and that they're invisible. I was like, so I know how these things work. So kept on working on them. But because of the pandemic, we're, stuck, we're working from home, we're not going out. So I've had to now start to look at how to, exercise and go out and, so I didn't just get stuck at home. So on one particular day, I was going to leave, on time, but it didn't happen. I just couldn't leave. But eventually I left and I went on my stroll in the evening. And by the time I was coming back, it was late, dark. So as I got home, my daughter said, "Dad, is that you?" I said, "Yes, it's me." She said, "I called your phone." I said, "Okay." I didn't realize that. You know, so I brought it out of my pocket. Yes, she had called me. And then she said, "Where did you go?" I said, "I went out. I went on my, you know, stroll." She said, "This late?" So I was tired. I've had a long day. So I just mumbled something. I can't remember what I said. You know, I couldn't leave on time. And I just left it. And I had the Holy Spirit say that it's a lame excuse. Lame excuse. I've not been anywhere today. This is the first time I'm stepping out. Until I now realize that, you cannot be telling somebody not to do something, and you yourself, you are doing it. That's feedback. You know, feedback doesn't have to be when they call you into the room. At times, it's also short stuff. Oh, yeah, it doesn't. Oh, feedback doesn't have to be like that. You know, it could just be, someone just passes one comment. They are telling you about. So that's this late. Is feedback. And the Holy Spirit took it seriously. So I said, okay. I said, "Lord," you know, just me now. I wasn't talking to anybody. I was just all by myself in the room. Because it took me time to understand what she was saying. I said, "I would make amends." And I really meant it in my heart. And I tried as much as possible after that, you know, not to, you know, go late again or whatever. But then it happened again. It happened again. It wasn't planned, but, you know, I just found myself going out again late. And as I was coming back home, about 150 meters to the house, I heard God say that you're coming late again. And that was all I had. My daughter didn't say anything, no one, you know. And from that moment, I made up my mind that I can go out in the afternoon during break time. But the point I'm trying to bring out here is that God has put people around us. At times, the conversations are not exactly easy, and we shouldn't take it to heart. They might not. An advisor is not your friend. At that point, when he's trying to advise you, they are not friends with you. I'm not even sure whether my daughter realizes it. You know, maybe she was trying to get a, score a point. But because of that, I'm trying my best to see that I live above board. I'm trying my best to see that I live, because the assignment of an advisor is to ensure that you succeed. So when the advisors come to us, and the advisor could be your spouse. The advisor could be somebody in the office. The advisor could be somebody in the church. But when they come to us and they give us these feedbacks, let us be wise. But I find out that even though the Bible says that we are surrounded by many advisors, and as a result of that, we are likely to succeed, there is one that is the greatest advisor. There is one that gives counsel that can never fail, and that is God. And so it's important that we also hear God's feedback, because God has an opinion about everything. So God has a feedback for us today. And what is God saying to us? What is God saying? What is God's feedback for us this morning? God is saying to us this morning, he says, "Repent of your sins. Turn to God. For the kingdom of heaven is near. That's God's feedback. Repent of your sins. Turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It says, prove by your actions, not by what you say, but prove by your actions that you have repented of your sins and you have turned to God. That's God's feedback for us this morning. God bless us.